Faye Jensen Room, the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. They will also refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Persons in attendance will also refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact, and you will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. And you will also refrain from any speech of a political nature. Roll call.
Tom, I'm getting messages from the guys that one of you needs to mute yourself.
Stay what?
So one of you needs to mute because they're getting an echo.
Oh, they are.
I'm muted.
See,
my microphone.
See if that is any better.
Okay. We'll go on to item three, roll call. Director Doyle.
Here.
Director Price.
Here.
Director Anderson.
Here.
Director Strotska.
Here.
And I'm Director Donahue, the chair. Okay, item number four. Just for the record, we'll also note that we have Jason Stewart, Jim Pippinger, Tim Hirsch, and as guests online, and Rochelle as a guest in person, in here now. Okay, minutes of the April 8th, 2025 business meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the April 8th, 2025 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the April 8th, 2025 business meeting minutes. There are no further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. If you disapprove, say nay. Motion carried.
And for the record, Director Anderson and Doyle were absent at that meeting, so they would have abstained from this vote.
Thank you. Point of order taken. Item five, our financial report. Accounts payable for April 15th and April 30th of 2025. Does anybody have any questions or comments about those?
So, Rochelle, I just have just so I understand this better. So, like, the first item, Wendy Ackley refund, why do we have all these line items for her? I understand that there could be some for water and some for sewer, but why do you have one, two, three,
There's
four?
There's water, sewer, water CIC, sewer CIC, wastewater treatment plant CIC, street lights. I think those are the top ones. So she gets a refund from each individual account.
Okay.
Director Doyle?
The Roto-Rooter service, is that normal maintenance, or is that an emergency thing? Or
well, that is to pump out step system tanks. When we do the inspections every year, one of the things we look for is, and we take a sledge judge to determine how much buildup is in the tanks. And if we determine it's time to pump out a tank, they assist us with that service.
What's the length of time usually you can count on that you can go before pumping out, or is it?
Well, you know, of course, in this town, there's a lot of absentee homeowners, and they can go quite some time, but then the vacation rentals and stuff, much less time. We find that on average, we can get about 4 years between pump outs.
All right, second question I had was...
Dan, before you leave that, so we don't have equipment that can do that?
We have a trailer, don't we?
It has to be transported to a specific facility. We don't have the time.
We don't accept septage at the treatment plant generally. Okay. It puts a huge BOD loading on the plant, and therefore we usually allow them to haul it at the county disposal site.
Okay. I was just curious why we didn't.
Well, it seems if we have a wastewater treatment plant, you know, why are we?
Why are we doing that?
but septage is a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Questions about the two line items for generator repair. Seems like I went through the budget information I got here the other day. It seemed like total year was $40,000 for generator maintenance, but not $40,000. And here's almost half of that
for a single repair.
Well, that's a question. Is it a repair, or was it that the maintenance that's done every year, or?
That was a repair. We had one of our portable generators fail catastrophically. The alternator went bad and actually started a fire that we had to put out. Luckily, we had the extinguishers and everything there to do it. But the whole alternator assembly had to be replaced in that unit.
Plus, they had a unit in wiring, too.
Everything copper and everything had melted all over the place.
Is that a unit that is old and decrepit, or something that's fairly new?
Well,
I can't remember what the portables are.
Yeah, well, in this case, we also had a control board go out on the unit that we didn't know about. We're not sure if the alternator frying out is what fried out the control board, or whether it was vice versa. For the alternator, at first we thought it was just the alternator needed to be replaced. That was a worthwhile expense, even though it was about $30,000. But once we found out, after we'd already replaced the alternator, that the control board was also bad for another $10,000, in hindsight, that's getting close to where we maybe would have considered just a new generator. But we'd already made a huge investment into repairing it when we found out that the alternator wasn't the only thing broke. So, these are, I don't want to say these are old. They've got a lot of life left in them. I think a new generator would have cost probably twice that much, but we do often factor in age of equipment and the size of a repair bill in determining whether to repair or replace.
So did that get a whole new generator end, just to unbolt and bolt a new end on then?
No.
Or they rewind it?
The alternator, it came as a single part.
No.
And then the control board also came in single part, but we didn't know the control board was bad until the alternator had already been replaced. Yeah. And now both are replaced and it works great, but it was definitely an unexpected repair on that.
How long was that actually down?
It was down for a couple of months.
Yeah, this happened in December and it just got repaired.
So so
4 months?
4 months, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
All righty.
I'll move to approve the accounts payable for April 15th and April 30th of 2025.
I'll second it. We have a motion and second to approve the accounts payable for April 15th and April 30th, 2025. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Our general ledger for fiscal year 24-25, are there any questions? Or we're getting close to the end of our fiscal year. John, are we on budget, or are we ahead or behind?
Well, Rochelle and I have looked at that, and I think we are on budget.
Outstanding.
As long as we don't have any more catastrophes.
Right. Well, and that's why we have contingency funds in the budget.
That's right. We don't need anything else blowing up. Item 5C under finances, our budget calendar. Could you kind of fill us in on the reminders of when the budget meetings are?
Yes, so next Tuesday the 20th is our budget committee meeting where all 10 members, well, nine members, will meet here, 5 o'clock. We will go over the budget. You guys will approve the budget, either with corrections or changes or anything, or as is. And then there will be a budget hearing prior to the June board meeting. And that is a time for the public to come in and say we don't want rate freezes or we don't think you should spend this much money on something. And you guys will hear them, but no action will be taken.
So is that a meeting?
Is that a separate meeting?
At that meeting. It is a separate meeting. It usually takes 5 minutes.
It's okay. I just want to make sure.
And then there will be a budget adoption meeting at the very end of June. I believe it's the 24th. And that is when we will approve all of the resolutions regarding the budget for appropriations, salaries, and rates.
And levy taxes.
Yes, and levy taxes.
Thank you.
So do we know what that early June date is?
The hearing date?
June 10th.
Right before the board meeting.
Oh, right.
That's the same day as the board meeting.
Okay.
Usually it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah, and that's why I just sort of make sure I get these dates.
It's at 5, the board meeting will be at 5:01.
Got it.
Yeah, that's how it usually comes.
Usually.
Okay, so. Dan, go ahead. So.
The 20th, I won't be here the 20th, but I'm assuming I can Zoom in.
Yes. As long as
I can make this work. Zoom's an obsolete word now. Microsoft
you can Teams.
Teams
in.
Teams
yeah.
in.
Okay, thank you for letting us know. John, I had, as I was going over the budget documents, I did have a question about engineering budgeting, and this is not the time to do it, so I'm just reminding you, so you and I need to talk before the budget meeting, because I had something I wanted to bring up.
And I almost think I know what it is, but let's talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
One more thing before we move on. So, having looked through the book and seen the proposed increases and not increases, when is there discussion about amongst the board members and the budget committee on
next Tuesday?
So we can have discussions about the targets you've set for increases in SDCs and whatever.
That's the time to do it.
Yeah, I'll look for your comments. I'll raise a hand and I'll or whatever.
You do not get to be the chair.
Oh, that's
yeah. You're not the chair.
Sorry,
I'm not the chair. It's the
you
budget.
But also, Dan, you might make before you leave. You might have a time to sit down with John and go through whatever questions you have prior to the meeting. I mean, there's nothing that says you can't do that.
Which I've done in the past.
Feel free.
Because doing that on Teams might be hard.
Well, and with Rochelle there, if you want to swing by the office, I'm sure that we can definitely provide answers or
and then if you still have concerns, bringing that up at the at the budget committee meeting would make sense.
Anything else, anybody?
No, sorry.
Okay. Item 6, manager's report. John.
Thank you, Tom. One of the things I wanted to mention is we didn't realize it when we ordered the truck, but we realized it shortly after, that our new crane truck, which is bigger than our previous crane truck, when it's in combination with our Vactor trailer, we're above the weight threshold for a standard Class C driver's license. That's not the only scenario we need a CDL for. We've got a tanker truck, we've got a spreader truck, we've got a dump truck. But this particular combination would have been used so frequently, would likely be used for after-hours call-outs, and you always call the person on standby to come in. Most of the people on standby don't have a CDL. And This is a shortcoming that we need to remedy, just to ensure that around vacations and other things, that we have the people we need to drive the vehicles we need to do our work, especially in emergency situations.
26,000 pounds?
Yes.
Over the 26,000 pounds.
It is. It is. GVWR.
There's no waiver, no...
You know, I wish there was, because, you know, if we worked on a farm, we'd have a waiver.
I'd drive a fire truck that's over 26,000 pounds.
Well, you see people with big trucks towing big toy haulers down the highway all the time. They don't need a CDL, but we studied this in depth. We actually had somebody that runs the training course, the CDL training course at Tillamook Community College, come down here and talk to us, just so that we all fully understood the rules and what our options were. And we have no options.
I think it's smart anyway. There's no reason to push that.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to get our guys certified.
Well, you know,
it's just, it needs to be done.
We should have more than two people.
And it's...
Well, it's a legal issue, but it's also a safety issue.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're looking at getting at least two additional employees licensed. Unfortunately, it's not just a simple matter of going to DMV, getting the book, and taking it home and reading it anymore. In 2022, and I can't recall the agency that leads this for...
FMSC.
FMSC.
Something motorized, something.
Yeah, well, the rules now require a certain amount of contact hours and training. The equivalent is 4 continuous weeks of training, which means that the people that we want to get licensed, we will have to send them to the class, we'll have to pay for the class. They'll be away from the job for a month while they're going to Tillamook taking the training.
Every day.
But we did, the college did give us a line on some scholarships that may cut the tuition per person in half.
So how much is it?
It's about $5,000 for the class, about
$2,500.
$5,000? It goes up 5% July 1st.
And unfortunately, there's no way around it anymore. This is the law, and to get licensed with a CDL, yeah, this is what it takes to do it anymore. I had a CDL for years, and I turned it around in a week in the house. Those days are gone. So not only do we have the need for more CDL drivers, but we're doing it at a time now when the requirements are
coming into our season too, and we need those people on the job.
So how many of our guys have CDLs?
Just two.
Okay.
Just two.
So then we're talking about maybe two more.
Two more,
and then maybe at some point, maybe two more.
Well, at the most, I don't think we need any more than six. But what we need is any combination of people. At any given time, including the middle of the night and the call out, at least one person's got that shows up has got to have that.
Right.
And you know, so it's a risk to us if we don't move forward with it.
I think we have to do it.
Does it? You know, there's good things and bad things. Bad thing is, you know, it's going to take guys out of service for a month, three of them, and the good news maybe is that they're more diverse in other driving opportunities. And we've got the slurry truck or whatever that has to go out and dump its load.
Yeah, because currently we've got one or two guys, and you know, if that person has the day off or this person's sick, you know,
they quit and leave.
You know, we can't do that. So, you know, but we will try to stagger the training. For example, we're not going to send everybody to take the same course at the same time.
Good. Yeah.
You know, we'll send one person They offer these courses. It's a four-week course. They offer a new course every 5 weeks at the college. The college is by far really our only training resource for this, and I'm glad that we have it, because otherwise we'd be having to go to Salem to get this training.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least it's so tell us. It's good.
The process, as I used to understand it, was that you could read the book. If you could borrow somebody's truck and trailer, you could go down and get a test.
Yep.
Can't do that anymore?
No, you can't just read the book. You have to have a certain amount of contact hours that involve the...
seat in a chair in a class.
That involve the knowledge part of it. Contact hours that involve the pre-trip inspection, which is a big part of it. The hands-on test. And they provide the truck. It used to be we had to provide our own truck.
Well, that's good.
But, I mean, you know, you got to take training. They've got simulators for double clutching and all kinds of stuff you have to be able to pass to get a CDL these days.
Yeah, it's totally different than it used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be pretty easy.
Yeah. But I wanted to let the board know about that. I mean, that caught us off guard. And... We checked it out thoroughly, and we've got a good understanding of the rules now, but there's no getting around it.
How does that affect the budget as it's written today or going to be presented? Do you go back and change that, or?
Well, luckily we had enough in our training fund to at least send one person now. I believe,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
but you'll notice if you look in the 104 and the 105 under training, we've increased it considerably.
Yeah.
With this anticipation.
With the new budget.
With the new budget. Right. And so, this is a primary reason why.
And we just need to do it.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wanted to say that the fencing modifications, the emergency supply shed that went in at the 100K reservoir, I'm sure many of you recall that one of our concerns was we didn't want to have keys that would enable people to get into our facility that were passed around to other folks. The fencing work has been done. It's the shed is now enclosed in a fence with a separate door with the emergency South Tumalo County Emergency Response Corps' lock on it, and we have moved our double gate that allowed us to drive in to the south a bit to accommodate that. The total cost of that work was just under $5,100, and the STC EVC is going to reimburse for that entire amount.
Great.
So I think that
good work.
That worked exactly like we wanted it to. We've got a system now that works for both parties without them having to have us come and let them in or other scenarios. So I'm pleased about that. Also wanted to say that last month we had two additional staff members pass certification tests. I should say two staff members that passed additional certification tests, because these two had recently passed a test each, I think it was the month prior. But that is Jason Stewart and Jeb Pippinger, and I wanted to recognize them for that effort. And
congratulations on to both gentlemen.
We'll and I believe they are with us in the meeting.
Yeah, so they are.
Congratulations, guys. Great news.
Yep. And I think that probably does it for me on the manager's report, Tom.
All right. Thank you, John. Any other questions for John? Okay. Let's move on to item 7, unfinished business. Item A, employee interviews for authority manager review. John?
Yeah, so this was a new business item last month. I brought it up to the board to see if the board was wanting me to engage with our HR consultant to do another round of those. I knew the answer was yes. It was more just a reminder to the board that, hey, it's time to start thinking about this. And so I did reach out to our HR representative, but I was surprised to hear that she will no longer be able to provide services to PCK.
And that means no services at all.
That means no services at all. And I was, disappointed to hear that. But situations change, and we have to change with them. So we are working to find a new HR consultant. I think what we're going to do, I think we've got an immediate need for somebody that can be called, our staff, myself, if an HR issue comes up, which is a separate issue from what this special project we have them do once a year related to my annual review. I know that HR Answers partners with SDAO. We get a discounted price for using them. I think at least in the short term, I'm going to secure their services as an, on an on-call type of basis. I have not been able to talk to the right person to engage with them about whether somebody at their company can also provide these more focused services in terms of the employee interviews and such. I'm hopeful that somebody there can do that for us. The thing I liked about our last HR consultant is that she was pretty much time and materials. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to find that with another HR consultant. It's going to be an annual service fee that we pay or even a monthly service fee to have them on retainer for cancer the phone anytime we call.
That's more standard in the industry.
It's more standard. I will say, too, that being a larger company, HR Answers that is used to providing the consulting services, whether I will be able to convince them to do the 360 interviews for us or not remains to be seen. If they can't do that, we will find somebody who can do that for us. But it may take a little bit of time, and so my question to the board is, would the board want to postpone my annual review for at least a couple months to see if we can get somebody signed up to do this for us? Or would the board like to push through without it? And I think the general consensus is it's worth postponing it for a couple of few months to see if we can add this piece that we have found is so valuable. You know, it's hard to go back. Now that we've had this, it's hard to go back.
Yeah, so, I think putting it off until we can get this result.
And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Good thing.
I'm completely fine with that. I'm in no hurry. But I will keep everyone here posted. And once I feel like I'm able to, once we find somebody that can do this for us, I will solicit their help with that as soon as possible, get those interviews scheduled, and then get the annual review for me back on track. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
Well, Luann can do that. She's got all this HR experience, right?
Well, we've got a couple of people.
She's a little close to the operation. Yeah.
I could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think that employees would probably speak as freely.
Before you give up your on the manager side, and maybe it's coming up here, water loss numbers, are they continuing to come down, or is that something we're talking about later?
Well, that was one of the things on my manager's report I didn't cover because we were running just a bit long with it. The good news is we did not see an increase. The bad news is we didn't see a decrease either. It's been 21% for the last 2 months. I will say we are finding leaks. We just found one today using our leak detection equipment. So
that was a good investment.
Yeah. So we are finding leaks, but we obviously have not found all of them yet. And sometimes they are very difficult to find. Literally like looking for a needle in a haystack. And but I am. We are actively searching. We just found one today. Our plan is to do the repair tomorrow. And so I believe that we are chipping away at it and hopefully get caught up to the point. I don't think we'll ever find all of them, but we'll find enough for us to get back within acceptable guidelines from an industry standpoint. 15% is generally thought of as the industry standard. And the reason it's 15% is every water system has water leaks. It's just, we're talking about 26 miles of pipe here. So,
it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yes. So, but appreciate the question, Dan. I did not mention that as part of the manager's report.
Okay. Item 7B, employee phone stipend agreement. Touched on just briefly last month. John, you've upgraded it some?
Yeah, well, some feedback that some of the, a little bit of the boilerplate language in it, there were some concerns, and there was some boilerplate language in that. And Tom, I believe you brought that up, and I'm glad you did, because I started doing some studying about it. None of that stuff applied to us anyway. So I did omit that portion of the agreement. I did not change anything else with the agreement, but I did revise it to get rid of that those references that really weren't applicable to us. And I have resubmitted it to the board for additional consideration based off of that small, those small omissions made to the agreement. Dan, I know that you weren't able to join last week. I think there was somebody else.
I was gone last month, but I hadn't been involved in this before, too.
Okay.
So I know what you're talking about.
Well, I think it's something that we're glad to have all five board members here to discuss. And Dan, you had put together a long list of questions about it that hopefully I was able to respond to satisfactorily for you. I this is something I endorse. It's something the staff endorses, and I'm hopeful that I can get the board to agree.
I just have one question. So for the $10 for insurance, would the employees be expected to find their own insurance, or do you have an insurance provider that we would just tie them in with?
I think that anybody that has a cell phone and has a cell phone service, their provider would offer insurance on their phone if they don't already have that.
It's not $10.
It's an optional.
And this isn't necessarily meant to pay the whole thing. It's meant to encourage. It's not even a hard and fast requirement. What we're trying to do is to make sure that people have a workable cell phone at all times. And I think we've all broken a cell phone before, and then we're without a cell phone for a period of time. And sometimes you have to, if you don't have insurance and other things, sometimes that can be expensive. So it's really just a carrot to help to see if we can encourage people to get that insurance. It's still at, even with the $10 at the $50 total amount, that's still on average about how much we're paying for everybody's work phone on a monthly basis as it is. So we've determined it's pretty much a wash.
So I did some checking, and I think this is pretty common in the workplace now. It's just easier for the company, the employer, and it makes it more, it simplifies things for the employees, so that they don't have to deal with more than one phone.
Yeah.
So I'm totally supportive of this.
Me too. I remember years ago dealing with this where you'd have two phones and, of course, back in those days you have a pager and two phones and it's like,
And if you're on call, you have a third phone.
Another one.
So I think this is.
And then there's some other beeper thing.
Much better.
The Zoleo thing. So
much better way to do this. Have you talked to the employees at all about this? Or?
The employees are supportive.
Okay. I figured they would be, but I was just curious.
You're making this an action item?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I brought this up a couple of years ago, I wasn't. There was some talk about whether the board needed to act on this. Whether the board makes a motion, I want the board's support, is why I'm here. But it wouldn't hurt to.
It never hurts to make a motion
to accept a policy change, and this is kind of a policy change, right? It is.
So I will move that the board express its support for John's proposal of an employee cell phone stipend agreement.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to support John's employee cell phone stipend agreement. Are there any other comments? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Are you going to put this can be part of the employee handbook?
That's actually the next item on the agenda.
That's last. New business, employee handbook revisions.
Well, so anticipating or maybe more hoping I'd get the board's approval for that, I took the liberty of adding a small section about the cell phone stipend in what I think is the most appropriate section of the employee handbook. I think that this is something that should be in the employee handbook. This is just a draft of the language that I put together for this. Now, certainly would be open to thoughts about edit suggestions or anything along those lines. This was just a draft, and it's only a single paragraph that I changed in the employee
handbook. I think it looks good.
I think it looks good. Taken basically from the document that the employees
signed.
It's pretty straightforward and simple. I don't think we need to reinvent anything.
Right. So we need to.
I think it does take a motion to amend the employee handbook, does it not?
Okay. Any other
comments?
I will move that we accept John's proposed revised language to the employee handbook.
Second. We have a motion and a second to accept John's revised revisions toward the employee handbook. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. New paving project. John, I was just looking at the photograph.
Yeah, and I hope that photo was helpful. This is what I call the third phase. This is the third year we've done some paving at the wastewater treatment plant. This is the last phase of this job, and it is essentially the first phase. The back road that comes into the facility used to be a horrible potholy gravel road. We did that in year one up to the back fence. Year two, you can see in the picture all the really black area. That was the year two stuff. And then the year three stuff is the final two sections, one immediately north of the office building and one on the northeast corner of the property that will connect the road coming into the back with the section that we did last year. So this is something we budgeted for.
That's the yellow part, right?
The yellow part is the areas that will be done.
Okay, that's what I...
This is something we budgeted for. As required, I tried like the Dickens to get three quotes. I was only able to get two. I contacted the third company three times, and I just couldn't get them out. And this is something we would definitely want to be able to get on somebody's schedule to get done this season.
Right.
So with that in mind, we've got a quote from Geddes Paving and a quote from Road and Driveway, which are the two people that have bid on all the previous paving projects as well. For the third year in a row, Geddes Paving is the cheapest quote. And I can tell you we're pretty happy with the work they've done. So I have no reason not to go with the cheapest price for this job. But it is above the threshold. It needs board approval for the purchase. And I would ask the board to approve that purchase tonight.
Is this number hard and fast?
They're hard and fast.
A bit.
Yeah.
When it comes to paving around the facility, there was no engineering that had road engineering or anything that had to be done regarding weights of vehicles and possible stress on the paving or anything like that?
No, the only consideration was is you know, anticipating the amount of use and anticipating the type of use, meaning heavy equipment like we drive. And because of that, the bid is for a 3-inch lift and as opposed to a 2-inch lift, which you might do in a residential driveway or somewhere that wouldn't get some of the heavy traffic.
That's kind of a standard thing. That wasn't something you draw up.
Well, no, that's what the experts that do this for a living. It's the depth of the, they call it the lift, but it's the depth of the asphalt that is the consideration for wanting it to make sure it can handle the heavy traffic or heavy use versus lighter traffic or lighter use.
And both bids have 3-inch.
And both bids have 3-inch.
3-inch. And Geddes, their plant is out of Tillamook, or do they use the plant in Tillamook?
Lincoln City.
I think they're Lincoln City.
Okay.
I think
SC is in Tillamook.
Yeah, SC is in Tillamook. I think Road and Driveway is Lincoln City as well as Geddes.
Okay, besides paving, there's upkeep and sealing that has to be done on top of existing pavement projects that have been done. Is that something you budget for then, is maintaining the roads that have been paved with sealing?
Well, we are going to go back and look at that. It's funny you mention that, because the sealing it currently hasn't been done. And I don't think it's an expensive add-on, but we were just talking about this at the shop, and that's something that I do think we need to do.
It was pretty much all gravel until John started marching down this path.
Yeah.
Paved. So it's only been, we're in third phase.
Yeah, it's been a short time, but I do think that sealing it would be a wise thing to protect the investment.
Yeah.
And so we will look at that. We will pursue that. But I don't think that the ceiling adds a significant amount of cost.
I would entertain a motion if the board so deems necessary. Well, we do. It's
yes, we need it.
You're good at this, Ann.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the bid from Geddes. In the amount of $29,200 to do the final phase of the paving project at the facility.
Thank you.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the bid from Geddes Paving Incorporated for our final paving project for $29,200. And any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Next item is July business meeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but I have a scheduling conflict with the second Tuesday in July. Luckily, we've got a couple of months to possibly find an alternative date. I think the following Tuesday, 1 week later, looks good, but I don't know. Kathy's shaking her head.
I'm going to be gone.
We don't necessarily have to land on anything tonight, but I would like to see if we can identify and commit to an alternate date. Kathy, just so I know, it's the whole week you're gone that week, or just, okay. The week after is okay?
No, I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
So this doesn't affect me because I won't be on the board at that point, but just for your consideration. Our meetings were traditionally on the first Tuesday of every month until just a few years ago. And so it might be an opportunity to move back to that if you all wanted to.
I will say that...
it's a less crowded week as far as other meetings around the area, too.
Yeah, it might be something to do. I will say that the change to the second week... It's,
oh, the, well, it wouldn't work then.
Well, the board packet can be a real chore when...
First Tuesday is the 1st of July.
It's the 1st of July.
Meters and billing.
So that's why it really benefits the organization to have it on the second Tuesday.
It does.
Okay, I had forgotten that part. Thank you. That makes perfect sense.
Because it gives us time to get the board stuff out. Otherwise, it would be sometimes in a case like this almost impossible.
Yeah. Well, he advised also that third week is Dory Days week also. So we can operate with board directors if we have to.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
the 15th works for me. That next Tuesday.
Okay.
So when does the new person come on board?
July 1st.
July 1st.
So they will do their oath of office at the July meeting.
So I'll be gone, then you'll have a brand new person. Mm-hmm. But that leaves three that know what you're doing.
Yeah. And you know, I could communicate with you guys about this via email outside of the meeting. If you know, I hate to put anybody on the spot here if we're not quite sure.
We could look at other dates too. Maybe I don't.
Yeah, doesn't have to be a Tuesday.
It
could be any
Tuesday.
Day of the week.
Yeah, that Tuesday works for me.
But you're on those 2 weeks in the middle of July, right?
I see Dan checking his calendar. Dan, if on the. The quick glance is good for you. Maybe we just...
Well, quick glance, it looks fine. I guess I always default to the team's meeting, being able to attend that way.
Sure.
So I don't see a problem with the 15th.
Okay. Three no problems. I mean, we'll hate to not have Kathy, but we also don't want to have two meetings the following month.
Right. Right.
So I think we'll have to find something, and we'll assume that the new board member will be able to make that as well. And but yes, you'll that's not something you'll have to consider.
I won't have to worry about that.
Well, good.
You're welcome to come.
I know I am.
Well, why don't we tentatively say the 15th then for now? And if anybody has something come up in the meantime, just let me know, and we can find something that works.
Okay. All right. That brings us to surplus vehicle bid for the 2008 Ford F-450.
And we did get a last second third bid.
Oh, we did.
So there should be three in there.
Where is it?
Probably a smaller envelope, yep.
Ew. Okay.
So Tom opens them, reads them aloud. Is that what
right.
we do?
Yeah, okay. Read who they're from and how much it is.
This is from James Wetstein from Hebo.
I tried to talk my husband into buying it. I just thought it would be so much fun to drive around town with it.
James's bid is $2,000.
Even. Okay. Do we verify those? Does somebody else need to look at it and verify it on the record?
I don't think it's recorded, but you definitely right there. Can.
Also, as a board, if we don't think it meets the community's needs, the bid, so we can refuse all of it.
Okay, that's a very good point, and I was going to ask whether or not you had felt there was a number you were trying to.
Well, not necessarily, and Ann looks puzzled, which means I was told that, well, that was the thing.
Yeah.
In our ad, it says that if it's not in the best interest of the community, we can't reject a bid.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what gives us the grounds of.
Okay, the second bid is from Forrest Pruder, and he bids $2,652. Bid is from Coastway Construction. And their bid is $5,101.
Wow. So, did you do anything to get a value of it?
Well, no, and it does have some running problems.
Oh. And it is 17 years old.
And it is 17 years old.
Been in heavy service during that time.
And I can tell you that in light of the bids, I personally have no qualms with what's been bid.
I just wanted to pay for the advertising in our last trip.
Yeah.
and all three of those will cover it. So,
just out of curiosity, are they the potential buyers allowed to ask you questions about the
deal? Oh, of course.
They're allowed to look at service records, running.
So there was some time spent in facilitating.
Well, and not only that, but there's a detailed summary of the vehicle condition. On the window right next to the for sale sign that people can see when they drive up and they want to come up and take a look at it. So, and we put some of that information in the public notice too.
Didn't want to make it.
So I feel like we've disclosed everything that we can disclose with the caveat that we're not mechanics. You know, we don't go out on a limb and say what's wrong with the vehicle. But if a vehicle has trouble starting, we'll tell people that. But we generally won't speculate as to why.
Yeah. And so, once the deal is consummated or whatever, the bid award is generated, that's it. Our liability ceases from that point on.
It's as is. As is condition.
So do we need to make a motion?
Yes.
I move that the bid from Coastway Construction in the amount of $5,101 for the 2008 S450 be accepted.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to award the bid to Coastway Construction for $5,101. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Coastway Construction.
I think
like
I've
the
truck.
Third or fourth BCJWSA truck that they bought.
Well, you know, they have lots of big trucks.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
They know how to fix stuff.
They know how to fix stuff.
Can I give that to you, Rochelle?
Yes, I will and they call them tomorrow.
Yay.
It's a good thing because I know we need to give our equipment.
You make courtesy calls to the losing bids
yes,
also?
We do. We do.
Thank you. All right, next item. Is item E8E, and that's the fiscal year 25-26 budget committee appointment. We have an application from Mr. Mark C. Miller, who lives in Tidewater Lane here in Pacific City.
So I was the one that talked to Mark about serving on the budget committee. Mark does a lot of volunteer work in the community already. I think Ann knows him. I know him. Ann knows him. He's very enthusiastic about being on the committee, and he understands, I think, what his duties will be. I think he's very serious about fulfilling his responsibilities. So
I think you'd make a good member.
I will move that we appoint Mark C. Miller to the fiscal year 25-26 budget committee.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Mark C. Miller to the 25-26 budget committee. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Congratulations, Mr. Miller. Item 9, guest questions and comments.
I have just one thing. Dan, have you had a chance to go to Coast Bank and sign the signature card yet? If not, you're the only one that hasn't done so. Sorry to single you out.
I think I have.
Okay.
But I'll double check tomorrow.
Well, when I did it, and it's been maybe 6 weeks ago I did it, everybody else had done it. I was the second to the last one to do it. You hadn't been there yet, so I just wanted to see.
I think I have.
Okay.
Great. That's what you get when you hire the people that are old.
That come and go out of town.
And then when we get a new board member, we all have to say,
we're going to redo them again here in a month.
Yeah, well, I guess that's very true, isn't it?
That's a silly rule, but you know, if you have your signature.
It's not if you're in banking.
I could ask this after the meeting, but we are doing AP. We need check sign tomorrow. I don't know if anybody's available.
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Is Wednesday, yes.
I can. What time do you want it?
We do it after 12.
After 12?
Yeah, sometime, anytime in the afternoon.
Okay.
I have a check that has to go out on Thursday.
All right. Are there any other comments from the directors? Hearing none. It is now 5:57 p.m. We've got less than an hour of meeting adjourned. Okay.